What happens if Twitter goes away, and what does it mean for your social media strategy? With us to discuss that and more, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Well, Scott, is Twitter going away?
Morning, Bob. Actually, you know, I think if you were to look up teetering on the edge in the dictionary, that you'd probably find the Twitter bird. To answer your question, I really hope it's not going away. But based on everything that's been going on over the past few days, it's in a pretty precarious position for sure. I think the easiest way to explain what's happened most recently is, you know, you have a new Twitter owner, Elon Musk. He's trying to do a lot more with a lot less. He reduced the staff by about 50% the week before. Now he's finding it hard to keep the people he has left. And if no one's there to run things, well, that's when we start to have to wonder how it's going to stay afloat. And I'll admit, over the past week, I've started my day, I check Twitter, and I check to see if it's still online. And so far, so good. But based on the conversation, you know, on Twitter that people are having, they're prepared, or they're preparing for the worst.
I probably use Twitter more than any other social media to get information, and I'm sure that's the case for many. It's been around for a long time now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, I was thinking about that the other day, Bob, and in so many ways, what started, you know, 16 years ago as curiosity, and then it became a place to go and meet people, it's become a part of us. I can remember teaching people what Twitter was. I remember when celebrities hadn't yet discovered Twitter. It was such a different time. Elon Musk likes to call Twitter a town square, and it really is. But it's so much more than that. I mean, think about it. For some, it's a place to get vital information. Look at its power. It shaped political ideologies. It's used to report the biggest stories of our time. And the list goes on and on. And, you know, one more thing I'll add is that, you know, for some of us, Twitter is where we've made lifelong friends. The words "we met on Twitter," I don't think that can be taken lightly. You know, there are virtual friendships that have stayed that way. There's ones that, you know, people have met on Twitter and that is they've extended into the real world. To me, the end of Twitter isn't just the end of a website. It's the end of an era. And I think it's hard to stress that enough.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So what happens if Twitter goes away for all the things that it does for us? How do we replace it?
It's a great question, Bob, and honestly, it sounds so easy to answer. Like, I'll just go to Facebook, and you know what? For some people, I guess it could be that easy, but remember, all the times you and I have talked about the fact that no two social media platforms are alike, right? I always say Twitter isn't Facebook, and LinkedIn isn't Instagram, and that's really going to be key here, because you can't just use Facebook the way you use Twitter. It just doesn't work the same way. You can try to make it fit, but you're going to quickly discover that the pieces aren't interchangeable. I like to think of it like a universal remote control, right? Companies have tried these things, but no one has perfected it because every device still has its own remote. This is the same thing. And that's why you may have noticed all this talk about a viable Twitter substitute. And I just want to say, I admire every single person who's trying to find one, but it's just not that easy. You may have heard a lot of people, they're starting to talk about this platform called Mastodon. And while it has some similarities to Twitter, it's honestly, I think, too difficult for the average person to use, especially when you're signing up for the first time. I think too difficult becomes too frustrating. And right now, it's the hot app, but unless things about it change, I don't necessarily see it being the next Twitter. But again, I really admire the people who are trying.
So if not Twitter and if not Mastodon, what do we do?
I usually don't like to give this answer, Bob, but the truth is I don't know yet. And I'd rather say I don't know than guess. And the main reason for that is things at Twitter are changing so fast. And in some cases, they change many times a day. There could very well be a brand new development by the time we finish talking in a few minutes. And the one thing I'm sure of is that if Twitter survives, it's going to be a lot different than the Twitter we've grown used to, that's for sure. And for all of the people who say that they're not going to be a part of Elon Musk's version, at the end of the day, I don't think people know how to quit Twitter. And I think that means that they're going to at least try to put up with whatever the future of it becomes. And maybe, just maybe, someone will come up with an alternative in that time that'll turn the tide. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but what if all the employees that are leaving Twitter, what if they just joined forces and created the next Twitter? Yeah. I mean, I can totally see that happening. Maybe I'm the only one, though.
I don't know. Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, we always try to keep the business owners in mind when we talk about social media. Scott, what would you say to them during this time of uncertainty?
Well, to business owners, I would say something familiar, and that is, you know, this is the time to be as in tune as possible with your audience. I always talk about the importance of needing to know where they are so your messages can reach them in the right place at the right time when it matters the most. But now, you need to really keep track of where they're going. And I say that assuming that your customers are on Twitter. And maybe this becomes a situation where you send a short survey to customers and you ask them about their social media habits. Because like I was saying before, about how Twitter is in Facebook and Facebook is in LinkedIn, I think people are going to be searching for that new home like we were talking about, but it's not going to be an easy transition. So knowing where your customers are is more important than ever. And I have never been one to advocate that you should be on as many platforms as possible, because honestly, the opposite is true. You should focus on the platforms that matter most to your customers. But for example, if you've never dabbled in video, this would be a great time to see what types of possibilities there are, because no matter what happens with Twitter, video is still going to be the king in terms of social media formats, and I don't see that going away anytime soon. So by thinking that way, you may be a little bit more prepared when the dust finally settles. Mm.
And I know you said that no two platforms are the same, but what about LinkedIn, being that it's so business-focused?
It's a very fair question. I think what you need to know about LinkedIn is the strategy of messaging and engagement is different than on other platforms. So take Twitter, for example. Again, you might be quick to click on a link on Twitter, and then you go to a website and you read more about something, right? But you can do the same on LinkedIn, but on LinkedIn, it's more about interacting on the platform itself. So you really have to be okay with not necessarily driving a lot of traffic to your website. But I always tell people that while driving to a website can be very important, the most important thing is that your customers get the information they need. So if that information lives on your website, or if it lives instead inside of a social media platform, sometimes that doesn't matter as much as you think it does. So, you know, just thinking from a business perspective, in so many cases, it's like, I have this website and I have to get people to it. And believe me, I understand why that makes sense. But when you think about it from a customer experience perspective, it doesn't always make sense. And I'll give you a prime example. Instagram shopping, okay? On Instagram, the only way you can click on a link is in your bio section. And that's by design, because if you can't click on a link to go to a website, it keeps people on Instagram. So if you want to buy something on Instagram, you use Instagram shopping and you stay on the Instagram platform. In that case, it probably means less traffic to your website, but there's where it comes back. How much does that matter if you're making sale after sale on Instagram? I don't think it matters nearly as much as you originally thought.
A lot to think about. All right, let's open up the Genius Bar. And I accidentally stumbled upon something called incognito privacy mode, Scott. I'm trying to recall how I actually got there. But I saw three little dots. I clicked on something, and then I saw that I could go into this incognito. What is that all about? Why is it there? Why do we need it? Should we use it?
So, great questions. Incognito mode is something on Chrome, and it is the exact same thing as private browsing on any other browser. Google just calls it something cool, so it's incognito. And when we think of incognito, we think of someone usually like dressed up in all black and like hidden from the world, kind of like a Batman kind of figure, you know, where you can do anything you want, say anything you want, but that's not what private browsing does. What it really does is it keeps things from your local device from being stored on your local device. So because you're not sharing that phone or that computer with someone else, probably, it's not going to matter as much. So when you go into incognito mode and you try to save a bookmark, you're not going to be able to save a bookmark because you're in a private browsing mode. You're not going to be able to save the cookie so it remembers you the next time. You have to be in the regular browser window for that to happen. One of the most common misconceptions about incognito and private browsing, people are thinking, You know, if I'm on incognito mode, no one is ever going to know I've been on this computer. Nothing is going to be saved, and that's not true. It still knows where you are, just maybe not your exact location. It would know that you're in the Chicago metro area. It's still going to save your payment methods and things like that. You're just not going to be able to use it the next time you log in. So the way I would look at it, Bob, is if you're sharing a computer or a device with 20 people, then being in incognito mode is better because there's a lot less that people can see. Mm. But if you're doing it by yourself, there's very little use for incognito mode. There's some little things, but honestly, I can't think of the last time I used private browsing.
Okay, so mainly it's a privacy deal, and that's why you would use it.
Yeah, it really is a privacy deal to save less on your computer than you would have saved before. And there are some reasons, again, why you would want to do that, where you don't want a website tracking you, so you don't want cookies tracking you. But in general, it's not going to give you the benefits that you might think it would.
And does it prevent somebody from looking at your history of sites you've been on?
That it would do. That
okay.
It would do. When you exit the browser, when you exit incognito mode, it's not going to remember the last things that you looked at. So yeah, if you want to keep something private, I guess one thing that could be really useful to the general public right now, this time of year, if you were shopping for Marianne for the holidays and you didn't want her to know the websites you were going to find her gifts, and you went to incognito mode, that would be a great way to make sure she didn't know where you were shopping.
And I'm glad you thought of that as why I would use it and not something else. Scott Kleinberg, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.